was a little confused between after the breaking of bread because I saw William bringing the ladder out to the clock. And I was looking at the clock and thinking, but the time is correct. Like, what are you doing? And then I thought, maybe he's setting the clock ahead 10 minutes. whatever. Several years ago, we did a series here on, the title was Love One Another, because that's a command that we're given several times in the New Testament. But the series was all the other one another's of the New Testament. Encourage one another and strengthen one another and so on. And we didn't do all of them. We did a bunch of them. I'm not sure. We want to consider one of them this morning. If we did consider it before, I apologize to whoever spoke. Maybe it was me. Who knows? But I don't recall doing it. And that is recorded for us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, where it says, "Be hospitable to one another." And the idea behind the series was, it's good to say, obviously, love one another. That's a good thing to say. The Bible says it many times. But we need something kind of a practical implementation of that, right? It's not commanding, as we know, just kind of vague feelings of warmth to one another. That's not what it's commanding. It's not commanding feelings at all. It's talking about our actions, how we treat one another. And so all of these various one another's of the New Testament, they kind of give practical ways in which we can genuinely love one another. And so I think that's ought to be the goal, certainly, of a goal of Christians. The Lord Jesus has made it clear we're to love one another. And so I think if we're eager about implementing that, we want to say, what does that look like? How do I practice that? How do I behave day by day in a way that really lives out the truth of that kind of overarching command about loving one another? And so this is just one of the ways, but I think it's a very worthwhile way. And we want to consider a few things today that the scriptures say about hospitality. So let's pray once more and think of these some of these thoughts. Father, we thank you for everyone here today. We just thank you for so many people who have just have a desire to be out and to hear the word of God and to get together with just Christians and to be here to sing and to pray and now to open the scriptures. And we pray for help. We need your help whenever we come to the word of God. We want to be changed. We want this to affect us. We want this to be built into our lives, and we want something for eternity to be accomplished today. And we can't do any of those things on our own, and so we pray for your help in that, and that we would just come with whatever else might be distracting us, Father, whatever other struggles or trials or heartaches or frustrations we might have. We pray that you just help those to be set aside, and that we might be able to just be eagerly looking into the Word of God together and to see what you have for us today. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's a nice Bible study if anyone wants to do it on their own. Hospitality. It's nice because there aren't that word and the kind of related words doesn't come up 500 times. So it's a manageable Bible study, and it's something that it's not as daunting to tackle. But it is, you'll notice, a very important subject nonetheless. It doesn't have to come up 500 times for it to be important. Peter talks about it. Paul talks about it. John talks about it. And it kind of permeates, not just the New Testament, but the scriptures. And I think we would see that if we look throughout the scriptures, whether the specific word is used or not, God's people are to be hospitable people. And so, because it's so important, we want to just give a few minutes to look at some of the kind of practical ramifications for that in our lives. So, it's always good to start with a kind of a common understanding of a word. What does it mean to be hospitable? I read someone once who quipped that hospitality is the art of making people feel at home when you wish they were. And so There's some truth to it. But that's not exactly what the Bible means by it. It is literally, the word means loving strangers. Now, that can sometimes mean actual people like we don't know. But I don't. That's not the main sense of strangers in that in the definition. It's loving guests, loving people from outside of our household, I think is the flavor of it. It is not typically like it is frequently used of people loving strangers, of being helpful and considerate and welcoming to people they've never met before. That is absolutely a part of it. But you'll find that most of the references and most of the examples aren't that. They are people dealing with people they already know, maybe people they're already close to in some ways, but they're not. It's not someone who lives in your house. It's not somebody who's part of your household. And it's just somebody who is, when they come into your house, they come in as a guest. They don't live there. And that's the idea, is being welcoming and receiving and to people outside of just our kind of immediate family, right? The Lord Jesus said that if we just kind of care about our family, he says, what value is that to you? Not even the tax collectors do that. Even the Gentiles know how to do that. Like he says, like basically he's saying, pagans know how to do that. That's not a Christian trait. I mean, obviously Christians should look after their families and things like that. It's not saying, okay, forget your family and look after other people instead. But it's saying that we already know how to care for our family. Now extend that love to more than just the immediate people in our home, right? That's something different. That's something that goes beyond what's natural, what we would just do, what an unregenerate person would do, what somebody would just do kind of operating naturally in the flesh. Go beyond that and show care for those people who aren't just part of our immediate household. So he was very clear about that. Okay? If that's where it ends in my life, then he says, that's not Christian. That's not anything to boast about. That's not spiritual. If that's all there is, he says, the unbelievers know how to do that. So we want to go beyond it. We want to be people who know how to show love and concern and care for people who aren't part of our immediate household. And so it's something that we're encouraged to do, and we're going to read several verses about it. It's very closely tied with fellowship. It's very closely tied with, we always joke about, you know, fellowship and food, and sometimes we make the joke about, like, fellowship, all it is food, and it's not true. It's more than food, obviously, but at the same time, it is important to notice how often in the Bible fellowship does involve food. Kevin and Irvin often joke about they have the gift of the interpretation of hospitality, and it's a nice gift to have. There's something about it. There's something about having people into your home and sharing food with them that we all know that brings a relationship to a different level. Right? You might have lots of people that you know at work or at school or whatever, and right, that you know, or in your neighborhood. And that's one kind of level of interaction and maybe friendship or whatever it is that you have. But there's a smaller group of those people that you actually have over to your house and welcome into your home. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't want the other people. I'm just saying that we understand that there's a level of greater intimacy when you have people into your home. It changes things. It brings a relationship to a different level, to a kind of a higher level. And so when we talk about hospitality, it's this idea of having someone into our house, and maybe it's for a meal, maybe it's to, they need a place to stay and they're staying overnight or over a few nights or whatever it is, but we're welcoming them into our home and we are just having that kind of fellowship with them. And we're caring for them in that very practical way. And we want to just consider a few of the scriptural thoughts concerning that. Can you turn to Hebrews chapter 13? And the Bible presents hospitality in a number of different contexts. And Hebrews 13, verse 1, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, this is hospitality to strangers now. This isn't talking about just hospitality to friends that come in. This is explicitly said to be showing hospitality to people who really are strangers to you. You don't know them. You haven't met them before. You don't have a relationship with them. They're someone that's new to you. And this could be very intimidating. This may be the most intimidating kind of hospitality, and it gets easier from here on in. But there are lots of examples in the Bible of people who did this. You remember back in Genesis chapter 18, and we'll just read at the beginning of the chapter. Now the Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre when he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves and that you may go on since you have visited your servant. Now, I don't know how clearly he knew who was showing up to him. We know from reading on in the chapter that it was the Lord and two angels. I'm not certain Abraham at this point knew that it was either the Lord, and I'm even less likely, I think, that he knew that it was two angels. I think that when we read in Hebrews 13 about some have entertained angels unawares or without knowing it, this might be one of the references that it's making, is that Abraham was somebody who, when there were people who came by, he was willing to be, eager in fact, to be hospitable to them, to show care, to show concern. These are travelers, they need some water, they need some food, they need a little rest, and I'm eager in fact, to help them out in that regard. And it's interesting, in chapter 19, I'll tell you, whatever other faults Lot had, he had learned some bad things from Uncle Abraham, but he learned some good things from Abraham too, because it says in chapter 19, verse 1, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. He invites them in as well. He had adopted this understanding that we care for strangers. Like, this is a radical idea. It's easy to just be caught up in our lives and the people super close to us, but they would show concern and care even for those that they didn't know. Job says in Job 31, when he's speaking, he's making a little defense of himself, and regardless of his motives, he can say this, the alien has not lodged outside, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. This was a pattern. This was something that these different people of God did in order to just, they understood, to show concern and care for others, not just for the people closest to them, but for others as well. I think we sometimes use this as... I actually read Hebrews 13, I wonder how many other times in history have believers shown hospitality to strangers and they'll get to glory and find out they were angels. I mean, maybe it's only Genesis 18 and Genesis 19, but I think it's been more than that. That the Lord is doing things, and we don't always we're not always let in on all the details until at this point in our lives. I think a little application that's often made from this verse is too, is just the value of even letting, you know, showing, you don't just show hospitality to your family and to other Christians, but it can be to unbelievers that you know that's a, you know, the home is a Sometimes it's very threatening to come into a chapel and listen to a Bible message and to, and we would always reassure people, no, it's, you know, we're happy to have you, and that's true. But I would understand from you know, if you put yourself in their shoes, maybe it's an intimidating thing to do. And it's less intimidating to go into some home, someone you know, and just to be able to have a kind of a informal conversation. How about we read in Romans chapter 12? And Romans chapter 12, we know it starts with, it helps if I'm in Romans and not Acts. Romans chapter 12, it starts with encouraging us to present our bodies as living and holy, as a living and holy sacrifice. And it describes from then on a lot about church life. And we point out often that we sometimes read the verse as if it says, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices. But it doesn't say that. It says, present your bodies as a living and, like, singular sacrifice, because it's not talking about a bunch of people just living individual Lone Ranger Christian lives. It's talking about church life. It's talking about how the body lives, and it's talking about how a local church functions and how it ought to function, how it should relate to one another. And then it says verse 9, as the whole chapter is going to talk about different dynamics of church life, but it says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. This is an expected part of the Christian life, right? Is that when we interact with each other, we are people who practice hospitality. This is it's not an aberration. It's something that we are to practice. These other things aren't things that we're supposed to do just kind of once a year. Rejoice in hope once a year, or persevere in tribulation once a year, or pray once a year. It's normal living. It's part of the Christian life, and it's a way to encourage and refresh other believers. It's a practical demonstration that the local church is a family, isn't it? It's that we're not just people who kind of get together. I mean, I grew up, as many people did, and many people still do, in a system where, if you ask me what church was, I would have said it's 11 till 12 on Sundays, and maybe an extra hour on Christmas Eve or something like that. And by the time you get to high school, maybe it's just the extra hour on Christmas Eve. And you know, it wasn't really relevant. It wasn't an important part of my life. But we know the New Testament teaches that church life is not just a meeting. It's not just an official, formal church meeting. That we've been brought into the family of God, and that we're a kind of a little local family of believers, and we're to be involved in each other's lives and help and encourage and strengthen and fortify one another and bear one another's burdens and all of these different one another's we talked about before. And it's just one of the things we do, one of the things the scriptures commands us to do, in fact, is to practice hospitality. It should be a regular part of every Christian's life. And it shows that the church is vastly more than just kind of one official meeting or whatever, two or three a week, that it's a life. It permeates all of our normal living and our normal week, that we're part of this local church family. What kind of family would it be if the only time you got together was you scheduled official meetings, and that's when we get together, and that's when we have time for each other, and other than that, we just ignore each other. And it's not it'd be kind of a weird family, and it'd be a weird church family too if we behaved that way. It's bigger than that. It's richer than that. And there are lots of encouraging examples about it. I have so often remembered Mark's dad talking about when he was in World War II as a sailor in the British Navy, and they'd pull into different ports around the world, and he would I don't know firsthand, but I understand probably like the sleeping arrangements and the food on on ships isn't top notch, and so he would look up people from the assembly in whatever town. These people he's never met before. These, you know, he doesn't know them, and he'd go and they'd have him over and they'd give him a meal and often a place to stay, and he'd come back to the ship the next day, and everyone was in awe. Like, how do you know people all around the world? Like, how do you, it's the family of God, right? And what a refreshment that would be, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be an encouragement and a refreshment to someone? I heard Carl Knott talk about when he and his wife first moved to Lubbock, Texas. This was many, many years ago. He said, I wasn't serious really about serving. I wasn't committed to anything. I was a Christian, but I wasn't serious at all about serving the Lord. I had no commitment, he said, but we went out to the assembly, and there was a man there, and he invited us back to his place for lunch, and we spent the afternoon there. And he said, by the end of that afternoon, I was committed to that assembly. He said, that's what it took. Now, it's not always going to be just one shot, but at the same time, just being in a new place and having somebody show that kind of care and concern, that was a turning point in his life. He went on to be, you know, he and his wife were commended, and who knows what kind of fruit has come from that. But you know what? One of the people who's going to have reward in heaven for the fruit that's come out of their life, and there's been immense fruit, one of the people is going to be that man who just invited this couple back to his house for lunch on Sunday. And just said, come on over, and you know, you're new, you're maybe feeling awkward or alone or whatever it is, come on over to my place, we'll visit. And it changed the course of his life. Well, it doesn't always have to be that drastic, but I think we would all say that it helps us in our Christian lives when we're invited over to other people's homes. When people care enough about us to spend time with us and to have that fellowship just on an informal basis, in our lives, it's a wonderful thing. And we could probably all point to examples where we were discouraged and somebody encouraged us that way, or just where it was somebody we didn't expect and they invited us, and it was just meant so much that somebody would do that for us. It helps us. It's a way to refresh Christians and strengthen Christians. And again, it could be a less formal, less threatening scenario. Maybe they have questions or issues or problems that they're not going to bring up in public. They're not going to announce to everybody, but they would love a chance to just talk. And that can be a really helpful venue for people to do it. In 3 John, we read just a few verses. excuse me. Verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. It doesn't say the word hospitality, but I think this is understood here. It's talking about these different Christian workers now who are going out and serving the Lord, and it's talking about how vital it is for people to have been hospitable to them and to help them and to have fellowship with them, and to in that way they can share in the work. It's not the Lord's will for every Christian to leave where they live right now and go somewhere distant and be a missionary, right? So not everybody's going to be called to move to another country and be a missionary, but everyone can have fellowship in that work. Everyone can partake in that work and be part of that work. And one of the ways we do it is by showing hospitality to these various workers that God brings across our paths. You know, it's a rich experience to have these different ones in our home. We should all yearn to do that. It's so valuable. The Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. This is, he looked at, right? He's not, Onesiphorus isn't Paul, and he's not well known, and no one's naming their kids Onesiphorus today, I don't think. But at the same time, he's known by Paul, and he's known in the scriptures, and he's known in heaven, because he refreshed Paul, that he joined in his work in that way. He wasn't called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But you know what? He helped the apostle to the Gentiles. He encouraged him. He refreshed him. And there is, he gets part of that reward, doesn't he? The Lord is eager to bless that kind of thing. And we've got a lot of, we have a lot of out-of-town speakers coming this year. We have Tom Bell coming a couple weekends next month. We have Warren Henderson coming in March. We'll have Bible Study Week in April, so we'll have Peter Kerr and Jerry Libby here then. We have a lot of, but it's just all through the year. It's valuable to care for these people, to invite them into your home and to have them there. It can be intimidating, I get it. It can be what are we going to talk about? These people aren't hard people to talk to, by the way. They'll be easy to talk to and refreshing, and it'll be rewarding. And at the end, I mean, I've done this and thought, oh, this is kind of very intimidating and scary, and how will it work? And then at the end, you look back at it and say, why was I ever worried that it was going to be intimidating and scary and hard and wouldn't have anything to talk about? That it's just rich, and it's valuable, and we should all be open to doing that. I'll tell you, like, we're not, and I'm not saying this because we're just trying to, find other people to do the work. It'd be nice to just hog them all to ourselves all the time, but the fact is, this is a blessing that can be here for everyone in the assembly. It shouldn't just be a blessing for a few families. It should be a blessing for everybody. And because it's worthwhile. These people are in the Lord's work, and they have lots of encouraging stories to pass on, and they can be a real refreshment. And then we can be a refreshment to them, even though we think, well, what do I have to offer? Hey, just caring for people is a refreshment. And then we can be part of their work and be working together with them. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman who had a little room prepared. And it wasn't fancy, and we'll get to this a little more in a minute. It doesn't have to be elaborate. And part of the reason people aren't hospitable is because they have this idea in their mind that it has to be something super elaborate and fancy. And at least, these people aren't expecting, nobody's expecting, no one in the assembly is expecting, we need a 4-7 course meal, and I don't know, China, does anyone have China anymore? I don't even know if people have China anymore. You can guess whether or not we have China from that. But the fact is, sometimes we have this kind of inaccurate expectation that people want everything super fancy and super top tier and everything else. That's not what's expected. It's just showing care. It's just being kind and having people in our home. So she had a little room. It had a bed and a lamp and a desk and a chair, and that was it. That's what it had. But it was there to allow people to, these different servants of the Lord to come, in this case Elijah, to come and stay and just show some hospitality. And here's this Shunammite woman, and we don't know a lot about many people from those days, do we? But we know about her, and she's in the scriptures, and we'll know about her for all eternity because she was hospitable, right? It wasn't some flashy, Shunammite Woman Ministries, Inc. It was just she cared. And she wanted to help and be refreshment. And so now she's like written down for eternity because she was hospitable. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read another reference. I sure hope this is fresh. It says this, and we'll say it again in Titus. Chapter 1, but in verse 2, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Like, it is an important ministry amongst the people of God, because there's lots, like, not everything is something official, right? And not every if somebody has a problem, it doesn't always have to be an official problem, like let's convene all the elders and get together and talk about the problem. And it's just there's a, this is how we develop relationships. This is how we get close together. This is how we just, it transforms things from being just we are kind of officially together on Sundays to now we're having true fellowship and friendship because we want to be together on our own time in an informal way, just in our homes. It's the last thing I'll say about that, about these different venues, is it is a tremendous benefit to us and to our families. Yes, it's true that it can help to reach the lost. It's true that it can be a service and an encouragement to other believers. It's true that it can be a refreshment to the Lord's servants and help in serving the flock, but it can be a real blessing to our own families. The Lord Jesus says, it's recorded in Acts 20, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the longer I go, the more it seems so counterintuitive, because the world tells you, no, receiving, that's what's blessed. Like, that's what makes me happy, is receiving. But the longer I go on, the longer I see anyone who's focused on receiving is really grumpy and miserable. They're always complaining and whining and bitter. And it's the people who give. And the Lord Jesus wasn't wrong when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Right? We have to. The flesh would say, no, it's more blessed to receive. And the world would say it's more blessed to receive. And the devil would say it's more blessed to receive. But the Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give. So who are we going to side with? Who's true? Okay? And I'll tell you, if you meet a Christian and they're really bitter, I can tell you which side of the giving-receiving equation they're on. Right? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we're giving, but the Lord blesses us in return, doesn't he? There's a joy that comes from serving in this way that we miss out on if we don't do it. Now, we're not doing it to get the joy, but at the same time, the truth is that we are blessed by serving the Lord in this way. Now, I have a few practical considerations. One is, we've already mentioned, but it's worth mentioning again. In Romans 12, when it talks about hospitality, it says Christians are to be practicing hospitality. So the idea of that, the sense of it is, it's not an aberration. It's not something we just do once in a while and everyone circles it on their calendar because it's so unusual. It's a practice. It's a habit. It's something that Christians ought to be known for. Right? It's something that we ought to be consistently involved in. It's not just an exceptional event in our lives. And no one's keeping track. Well, the Lord's keeping track. But no one else is keeping track. The fact is, it's good to be honest before the Lord. Like, right? You don't have to be. No one's interviewing you. No one's quizzing you or grilling you or anything else. It's good for all of us to be honest before the Lord. Hey, that's good. Shouldn't it? I mean, he knows anyway, so it's not like we're going to fool him. So let's ask ourselves, how often am I hospitable? Like, when was the last time? Like, what does it happen? Like, no, and we can't go, it's no fair going by vibes, by the way. Math is good. Count it up. How often am I hospitable? Right. Once a week, once a month, once a year? What is it? I mean, listen, the Lord knows. Okay, so between you and him, ask the Lord that question. How often am I hospitable? Would it be fair to say that I practice hospitality? That's what I'm characterized by. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to all of us. Here's another little... when I read 1 Peter 4 at the beginning, I cut off in the middle of the sentence, as maybe you noticed. It says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Right? So, it's like everything else in the Christian life. You know, if we serve and then just whine about it afterwards... that's not really the ideal. Okay, so the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He loves people who just serve graciously and cheerfully. And they're not really counting on what they get in return, or, oh, were people properly thankful, or did everything work perfectly? They just love to serve him. Think of the Lord Jesus. He came. Who thinks there was even one person he ever met who thanked him enough for what he did? He will never meet anyone, even in glory, who has thanked him enough for what he's done. So what does he do? Does he sulk and say, oh, they didn't thank me enough, so I'm just not going to, that's it, won't serve them again. It's so ridiculous to suggest it. It's just the flesh on us where we do something, and if we don't get enough return on it instantly, then we're kind of grumpy, maybe. Okay, maybe not everyone's like that, but we probably all felt like that at some time in our life. We probably sympathize with that feeling, whether it happens lots or little. We understand what it is. Well, this says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. It's something that should characterize our... It's not going to go perfectly all the time. Problems going to happen, and somebody... It's not... there'll be issues. It's not going to be just perfect, ideal, smooth sailing every single time you have someone in your house. It doesn't matter. Don't complain about it. Just be hospitable without complaint. Because we kind of expect, by the way, people to be hospitable without complaint in return. And this is what the flesh is like. It's like we've got this super high standard for everyone else. And when it comes to me, though, I've got all the excuses in the world for why the rules don't apply to me. So be hospitable without complaint. I have a question here. Who should we be hospitable to? Well, we've answered the question, but you should be hospitable to sometimes people you don't know. Maybe there are people visiting workers, but maybe there are people in the assembly, and you kind of know them, you know their face, and you know, you meet them on Sunday and occasionally have a few words with them, but you really don't know them, right? It's worth it to have people in our house we don't know. Maybe that feels awkward. I mean, I'm not good in that kind of situation. There are people here who are fantastic in that situation. I'm not one of them, but so invite some other people, right? It doesn't just have to be you and them. You could get a little group of people and invite a couple people that you're not as close to or you don't really know. And it's just a very non-threatening, comfortable way to start building relationships with people in the assembly that we're not that close to. I could say this, you should be hospitable to people you do know. It's not carnal to have friends, by the way, and I don't know what people think cliquish is, but from the way I've heard it, it's used incorrectly about 99% of the time, right? It's not a bad thing to have friends, and it's not like God expects us to have exactly the same relationship with everyone else in the assembly. That's not possible to do, okay? So you have some friends. Everybody's going to kind of click with some people more than with other people, and it's worthwhile to be hospitable to people we don't know, but also hospitable to people we do know. We should be hospitable to people who are struggling and need encouragement. Maybe you know somebody and they've gone through some difficult times, or they just seem down. Have them over. Be hospitable. But here, though, also, we should be hospitable to people who aren't struggling and need encouragement, because there's a secret. Everyone needs encouragement. So just because somebody, and sometimes what happens is the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and we just take a bunch of people for granted. Oh, they're fine, and they don't need encouragement, and so we just let them. And then we discover that, well, maybe they did need encouragement. They just hadn't told anyone, or it wasn't obvious, or it wasn't public knowledge. And that if we had taken some time to encourage some people who seemed just fine, maybe that would have been enough to help them. An ounce of prevention can be worth a pound of cure. And so it's worthwhile to just not kind of narrow our thoughts of hospitality to one specific group of people, is what I'm saying. Everyone needs some encouragement. Another suggestion is this, to be intentional about it. I think if we really want to be fruitful in this regard, we have to say, Lord, I'm going to make some changes in my life, or I'm going to make some kind of schedule in my life, whatever it takes, but I'm going to make a point of being hospitable, because I'm not just going to wait for it to be perfect. Like, oh, this is absolutely the perfect weekend coming up to have people over. Because probably there will never be a perfect weekend. There will always be something that will prevent it. There will always be something that, I would love to do it, honest. This weekend, not perfect, but soon it'll be perfect, I guess, and then we'll do it. It will always be, C.S. Lewis said about knowledge, but it applies to so many things. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are not, while the conditions are still unfavorable, because favorable conditions never come. Okay, so if this is important to us, what we're going to do is we're going to say, I'm going to make like a point of doing this. I'm not going to wait till it's perfect. I'm not going to wait till it's, oh, everything in my life is just, all the stars have aligned and now I have exactly the right opportunity. I'm going to say, this is important, Lord, and I'm going to make a point of being intentional about this. Again, let's be honest before the Lord. How often do we do it? And say, Lord, you know, maybe you do it all the time. Great. But if we're not in that category, maybe we should say, Lord, I want to change some things in my life. I don't want to wait for circumstances to somehow change for me that now it's super easy. I realize honestly that it's not going to happen that way. I have to make some changes. I have to be intentional about this, or it's never going to happen. It's just going to be the best of intentions until we go to glory, and nothing actually ever accomplished. Now, you may be saying, ringing in your mind all through this, that there are lots of kind of fears or objections or difficulties associated with this. And I don't think anyone is unsympathetic to that. We understand that there's lots of fears and hurdles and difficulties with making this a consistent part of our lives. I have a few of them listed down, but you might have others. One is, you could say, well, we'd love to do it. We have little children, however, and that makes it difficult. No one is suggesting it doesn't make it difficult, but I would say this. First of all, lots of people with little children have accomplished this. So it might be difficult, but it's A, probably not as difficult as you think, and secondly, it's certainly not impossible. So I would suggest, talk to some people who have already gone through it with little children, and sometimes with many little children, and ask them for some tips and some advice. How did you manage to do it, right? Like many other things, God isn't expecting us to kind of derive everything on our own. He's not expecting us to figure everything out from scratch just on our own. Part of being a church family is we look at people who say, and we can say, hey, they're way better at this than I am. I'm going to go get some advice from them. And we don't have to try and derive everything on our own. Boy, we'd be in a lot of trouble if we had to do that. We find people who have gone before and have done it and say, can you give me some help with this? Can you give me some tips and advice? I would say the opposite is true, by the way. If we have little children, that's all the more reason to be hospitable, because we want our kids growing up from day one understanding that the people of God are in our house, that we're part of that family. It's a blessing to them. Okay, and it's not always going to go perfectly, and sometimes I could tell stories and my kids would kill me, but I'll tell one story and Nathaniel can kill me later. I remember Bill Yule came to our house and he walked in the door and he sat down on the couch, and he can come across as a little intimidating sometimes. And Nathaniel, who was 18, no, Nathaniel was quite small at the time, said to him, we have a rule in our house that you take off your shoes before you come in. And probably for the next 5 years, every time I met Bill Yule, he laughed and he said, oh, I remember Nathaniel telling me to take my shoes off. So, you know what? We say things aren't going to go perfectly. It doesn't matter. Sometimes that's better, right? When something happens, and I'll tell you about Anastasia and Joe Reese sometime, but it can be good. It doesn't have to be perfect. No one's expecting perfect. Okay, it can be, we want them to know, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I remember Patrick Long saying, talking about him and his siblings, kind of when his parents had people over, they would make themselves as inconspicuous as possible because they loved to hear what they talked about. They just didn't want to remind their parents they were still up and to get sent to bed. So they'd just be quiet and little angels because they wanted to hear the discussion about the things of the Lord and the stories and things like that. It's valuable. Don't rob your kids of that rich heritage that they can enjoy from day one about knowing that the people of God are a family. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, there are material considerations as well. Some people say, I don't have a house, right? I mean, there are young people, obviously. You're living at your... you can't just always invite people over, although maybe you can, quite frankly. But it doesn't have to be your house. It can be, go to Tim Hortons. It can be just get together with somebody, right? Sometimes people have used the chapel. They just want to, they put on a meal for people, and they need it's more people than they can fit in their house, so they have done it here. But like, be creative about how to be hospitable. And I'll say this, it doesn't have to be a meal. Right? You can have somebody over after meeting for snacks. I mean, you could have them over for not snacks too, but they'll probably help, snacks help. It warms things up a little bit, but it doesn't have to be fancy and elaborate. It can be just go to Tim Hortons for a coffee. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It can just be a snack you put out on the table and people just pick at it while they visit. This is not, we are sometimes scared off from hospitality because we have this expectation that we have to have a big house and it has to be in perfect order and everything's spotlessly clean and nothing out of place, and like this fake life that we never have a mess in our house, and it has to be some elaborate food that's very expensive and exotic, and nobody's got a hospitality food blog that is rating. Well, Peter does, but he's not doing assembly people. He's just doing restaurants, and I think nobody is rating you like that. They just love to be invited. Right? It's not about fancy homes and fancy food. It's just about spending some time together. So a lot of these fears that we have, we can just throw them out because people aren't looking for, they just want to be loved, don't they? They just want to be cared for. They just want to have fellowship. And so it doesn't have to be expensive and fancy and weeks of preparation. Just do something. I remember, we are vastly more well off. Everyone in this room is vastly more well off than almost anybody else at any point in the history of Earth, and yet, other people have managed to be hospitable with far less than we had. I often think of Peter's dad told me once that they grew up under communism, and his grandmother kept the key to the food cupboard. Okay, so even having a key to a food cupboard is a radical idea, but she kept it around her neck because they didn't have food for people to just eat all the time. But he said every time visitors came, she brought food out. Okay, they couldn't afford to give food to people, but they did. All right? So we're all able to give a little snack to somebody. We're not in that now. So if we're looking for ways to do it, we'll find ways to do it. Time considerations, I know everyone's busy. whatever. You know what? The assembly's full of busy people who manage to be hospitable. I don't know what to say. Like, everyone's got jobs. Everyone knows what it is to have jobs and have kids and blah, blah, blah. And lots of people still manage to serve the Lord. So I have kids or I have a job. That's not the awesome excuse you think it is, because you're surrounded by people with kids and jobs who manage to do this anyway. Okay, is it important to us? If it's important to us, we'll find the time. Couple more, and that is we should be considerate. I wrote here, if you have a family over and they have little children, like, we should make sure to have something more than hot wings and Brussels sprouts. Like, just give a little bit of thought to who's coming. And there should be some consideration in return. Like, there should be some, if I'm going to someone's house, I should show some consideration. Try to show up on time, which is something I could learn. But I would say that for some people, being early is way worse than being late, too. So there's take some consideration of other people as well. Try to show up on time. Maybe I put here, try to leave on time. Not that I'm always trying to get people out of my house at all, but sometimes it could get, read the room. And just be considerate. Of other people, and be grateful, and just you know, make it easy for people to have you over. Right? Don't make it difficult, and just be. And the last suggestion I have is this: is there is a tremendous room for variety, like in so many other things in the Christian life. Everyone's got different gifts and different ministries, and right, we don't all witness the same way. We don't all reach out the same way. We don't all serve the same way. We don't all have to show hospitality the same way. Right? Like maybe you've been to someone's house and you think that's what you have to do. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord's infinitely creative, and we're all different people. And so some people have houses, some people don't. Some people can put on a meal, some people, maybe it's just a snack or just a coffee or just a cup of cold water. The Lord says that won't lose its reward. The idea isn't to try to do it like someone else did it. The idea is to be hospitable, is to say, Lord, I want to show this kind of care to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to use the opportunities I have, whatever you've given me, to do it. And let the Lord, you know, just direct you in that. And there's tremendous room for variety in it. And so don't be intimidated by having kind of this preconceived idea that it has to be just like so-and-so has done it. It doesn't have to be just like so-and-so. It's just be hospitable. And it's, in fact, encouraging to see people who do it different ways. And the Lord isn't expecting you to be like exactly like someone else. You're a unique person, and he loves you uniquely, and he's gifted you uniquely. And so probably the way you show hospitality won't be quite like the way somebody else does. And that's a good thing. And it helps other people, by the way, to see, oh yeah, I can do it too, because I don't have to do it exactly like that one person. We can do it in all different ways. Now, in closing, I'll say, it's been a difficult few years. We know that. There have been lots. There's lots we could be discouraged about the last few years. And we know there are a lot of times when we couldn't be hospitable because we were, we were under house arrest and all. And okay, so there's lots that's been hard. I think now's a good time, though, right? That's past. That's in the past. It's a good time to do something constructive and move ahead, isn't it? And this is something everyone can do. In different ways, but we can all do it. And it's constructive, and it's building into people's lives in the assembly. And you don't have to be you don't have to be officially appointed, right? There's no hospitality card that you get where you've been officially appointed to be hospitable. It's everyone can do it. And this is something positive and edifying and encouraging and refreshing that everyone in this room can do. And you know what? Imagine what would happen if we all committed to that going forward. Right? Instead of talking about problems, instead of talking about, oh, these bad things happened, or, you know, how frustrating this period of time was, or whatever it is, we spent our time being hospitable and encouraging and refreshing and just spending time with one another. The world thinks that the only truly important people are those with a kind of an official public role, and we know nothing could be further from the truth. And every one of us has the ability to be a key, to play a role in establishing others in this assembly, in encouraging and refreshing and helping. And it might be somebody, and you don't even know what heartaches they're going through, but just the fact that you care enough about them to have them over is gonna get them through the day and fortify them and help them. Can I say this too? When the Lord Jesus talks in Matthew 25, and he's talking about the judgment of the sheep and the goats, we read these words from him. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in and naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Now, it's a different group of people. It's not exactly the church, obviously. Well, it's not the church at all. But there's a principle there, isn't there? Right? We're the body of Christ. And Saul learned this on the road to Damascus. He never forgot it. The way we treat the body is the way we treat Christ. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He wasn't persecuting. He could say, I wasn't persecuting you. I was persecuting these Christians. He said, yeah, that's the way you treat me. The way we are treating each other in the assembly is the way we're treating the Lord. That is a very real sense in which that's he takes it personally. Okay? There's a day coming when if you're a believer, the Lord is going to take us home to be with him forever. But there's a very real sense in which we have the privilege of having him in our home now, right? We invite other believers into our home, other people from the assembly, and we care for them. He takes it as caring for him. He takes that personally. It pleases him. And so hospitality, I'd encourage all of us, let's kind of forget the discouragements of the past few years, and let's say I want to move forward being helpful and edifying and encouraging in this assembly. I want to help establish other Christians in their faith. And I'm going to do that partially by being hospitable, by being someone who helps and refreshes in this way. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the scriptures. We thank you again for this time. We thank you for one another and the privilege of knowing other believers and the refreshment that it is and the help that it is and the strength that it is for us. We pray that you'd help us to just be committed to one another in brotherly love, to be people who practice hospitality, to be people who are looking to build one another up and just invest in each other's lives, to love one another as we look for the Lord's return. We pray in his name. Amen.